SwingerCast is intended for mature audiences. If you're under 18, the show's not only not for you, but you're not even going to be able to get into the places we're talking about. For the rest of you, sit back and enjoy, and remember, this is just from our own personal experiences, and it should not be misconstrued as professional advice. And please, don't use this show to try to convince your partner to do something they're not comfortable doing.
SwingerCast!
SwingerCast is about our
hot
times that we have and our
hot
love that we have. Some people claim that we say
hot
too much, but we don't care because we love our
hot
times.
Swinging is fun. Wing!
Swing on!
Swing along.
Episode 14.
We're skipping that number 1-3 episode.
John's superstitious.
I'm superstitious. I have good reason to be superstitious. A lot of bad things have happened to me with that number, and so we're skipping it. So you're listening to episode 14 of SwingerCast. I'm John.
And I'm Allie.
And we're proudly causing global warming.
Global.
Okay, so in this episode of SwingerCast, what's going to happen, Allie?
Well, this is our second episode from our experience at the Lifestyles Convention in Vegas.
So if you're listening for the first time, you might want to go back and listen to one of the prior episodes, because normally what we do is we take a little recorder with us and we record our adventures and thoughts in on-premise sex clubs, but this was a little different, huh,
yeah,
Allie?
Yeah, because this convention, all the sex clubs come together. So in this episode, we are going to be interviewing some of the lifestyle organization leaders and some of the vendors that were on the trade show floor.
And then also in this episode, John went poolside while Allie was in the polyorgasmic seminar. And then we bring you some of the seminar. So sit back and relax and enjoy our kind of our sightseeing tour from the Lifestyles Convention in Las Vegas.
We were very excited to get to talk to Bruce and Dixie. They are leaders of the Lifestyle Organization. Dixie is the CEO and the CFO, and her husband Bruce is the event producer, system manager, and director of outreach program.
And all around nice guy.
Yeah, they're really a cool couple. And here's our interview with Dixie and Bruce. So, Dixie, how did you get into the lifestyle?
I knew nothing at all about the lifestyle. I'm a Midwest Puritan work ethic girl. Couldn't show her belly button as a teenager. And I met my husband. We went to a swingers club, and he said, I'm going to a swingers club. And I said, well, what is that? He goes, it's a wife swappers. And I went, oh, well, I'm not sure that I want to do that, but I'll go look at it. So we went into a club. He bought a three-month membership, and being a little smart, I turned to him and I said, well, I guess one of us is coming back. And we went into the club. I felt right away at ease. And I think that has carried over the entire time we've been in the lifestyle. Women are treated like ladies. They're respected. You feel very safe wherever you're at. No means no. Did we jump into the physical lifestyle immediately? No, we progressed. And just because you're in the lifestyle doesn't mean that you're having sex with every couple every night. There are different stages. There may be the voyeurism. There may be, oh, we'll have sex in front of somebody else. Or there may be, we'll let somebody else watch us. But there's all different stages. And the biggest part out of this is a friendship. I mean, it's a little difficult to be phony when you're sitting around with a towel on.
It's very enjoyable. This being our third time at the Stardust, and we've done the Aladdin, we've done the Tropicana. And these people are used to conventioners that come in, raise hell, have the hookers, and Las Vegas Metro is constantly here. They don't have those problems with our people. Our people are, they have a large disposable income to spend on travel and luxury, and or they save up for it. And it's a special, special event, and they're not going to blow it. I'm not going to say our people don't sometimes overindulge in alcohol. We do not condone any type of drugs. And our people are just here to have a hell of a good time. And women control this thing. The women do control it, no means no. And it's just a bunch of like-minded people as far as that one lifestyles. We've got school teachers, we've got doctors, we got Walmart workers, we got everybody. And they're just people out there trying to, you know, survive in life. Since I introduced Dixie to the lifestyle, and it took us 7 years to ever go to bed with another couple, by the way. It's such a super group of people that you do feel comfortable with 99% of the time. Dixie and I retired 14 years ago, and now we've been roped back in where she's CEO of Lifestyles, and I do a little bit of work. But it's most of the people that we enjoy associating with not, we haven't necessarily slept with them, but we all have the same proclivities and we agree on our lifestyle. It's fun. There are some groups that call themselves lifestyles that they have criteria. You must be a 10 or a 9 or whatever, and so be it. I just soon do what we do, have 1,000 or so couples at one facility, and you're going to find your match. But we go from 21 to 70, or higher probably, and we go from 110 pounds to, I'm not going to say. People in the lifestyle tend to keep themselves. Dixie and I have been married 14 years, and she's definitely not too shabby. I'm holding myself together, and it's the thing, people in the lifestyle, they not only want to be attractive to the spouse, but they want to be attractive to you, you know, and so they work at it a little bit harder. They don't just go home and have a turkey leg and a six-pack of beer for dinner. Our people do take a lot of pride in their appearances.
But you are right about the physical attraction, but there's also the attraction between the ears. A lot of times you'll meet a person that just might not be somebody that if you'd seen them that physically they would have turned you on. But by the time you sit down and you chat with them for a few minutes or whatever, it's like, oh, they're really nice, and you make that connection. So it's not all physical connection. Sometimes it's between the ears that you make the connection.
Trouble you at all that, you know, you see people using, you know, I'm a lifestyler. I see things on the internet and, you know, and out there that it's clearly it's a mistake. It's not something that's endorsed by lifestyles. But does that trouble you at all? It shows off your success on one hand.
Yes, it does. And what we have to be careful of is we do actually have people that will book with someone else because they've used the term lifestyles and they think they're dealing with us. That we do not want to happen. It's a positive and negative because it shows that how, again, like you said, how successful we are. So what we're trying to do, we have trademarked descriptive lifestyles. So we try to educate people that it has this script on it. That is definitely the original lifestyles group. Some people will try to piggyback on it. The best thing to do is call the numbers, ask questions. Most of the other people, when they try to use it, they're not around that long. They're around for a few events and then they're gone. And the good thing about it, we have resorts coming to us now who are mainstream resorts right now, family resorts, but they know the economic impact that the lifestyles makes on the economy. And they're coming to us and saying, we want to build a resort for lifestyle people only. We have three of those in the works right now, locations to be announced. And it is a great economic impact on the country because not only are you paying for the hotel rooms here, you're paying for the food, the liquor, the taxi drive here, your shows, airline tickets, babysitters at home, hairdressers, manicures, all the nice shoes that the girls have. So it really is a big impact.
Audio gear.
Audio gear, that'll work. But it does bother us to a point, especially if it's misrepresented. But in the long run, everything works out.
NASCA is North America Swing Club Association, and it's actually international. A lot of people think it is supposed to be something that's not. It's basically a directory of swing clubs. However, NASCA has become the good housekeeping stamp of approval. There are a lot of other lists out there. The internet has got tons of lists, but people do pay a membership fee on ours. We have an actual membership or a website where we keep the members up to date. We also have a print directory that the minute it's printed is totally out of date because it changes so fast, because clubs do, they come and go. If a club doesn't meet a certain criteria, we're not going to let them in. And it also gives some advantages. We've got a little bit of clout in that we can ask some of the member clubs, if someone is a NASCA member and you're traveling to Ohio or wherever you may be, and you look on the website, find a club you want to go to, they may waive the door charge, or excuse me, the cover charge, and you don't have to buy a membership. So it does have some privileges to NASCA. And again, we've had NASCA for many, many years, and it's very much like the name Lifestyles. It's got some impact.
And so, I guess, if people want to find out about the convention next year, I've noticed that through the years you guys have been pretty consistent with the website. I'm imagining it's just lifestylesconvention.com.
You can go to lifestylesconvention.com. You can go to playcouples.com. You can go to lifestylesflorida.com. You can go to lso.com. We have registered over 800 URLs, but the prime one is playcouples.com. is one I always tell people. Or NASCA.com. We've got 2,800 pages of website. And that tells you, just like General Motors or anyone else, all of us are doing more and more marketing on the web. The web, as you guys know, is becoming the tool of the century to use.
And what are the plans for the future convention? I know this is the last time in the Stardust. So is there any thought gone into where next?
We are definitely coming back to Vegas. We are courting several hotels right now, or they're courting us. Of course, we want to have the right venue. We need to have the right date. We have certain criteria that we need. We will be back in Vegas, preferably in July. We will be doing 2 and 3 smaller parties, maybe 500 couples, what we call splash parties, throughout the country all year round, too.
Hey, guys, how are you doing? Good, good, good. Tell us what you got over here, guys.
We're the original guys to make the glass sex toys, and we've been making them since the 90s. And from the day one, we make them out of solid, clear material, so they're the strongest glass toys you can buy. We don't add any colors, which are metal oxides.
Since they don't have any color in them, they have to perform. And rather than having a red one and a blue one and a green one, I mean, if you buy a red one and you like it, you're really going to go out and buy the blue one. But if you look at this, we've really taken some time to utilize the hardness of glass for better orgasmic experiences.
So what are the most common concerns of people that that are getting a glass toy? When
they say they'll break, but of course they won't.
He's pounding the hell out of this big glass dildo on the table.
I drive framing nails, 12-penny nails, to a 2x4 and about 5 wax width. And I drove 400 or 500 nails, but it was knocking everything else off the table, and we were spending all our time picking up glass toys. The neat thing about the lubricant is, because this is non-porous material, no one is allergic to it. Okay, so it is the safest, most hygienic toy to use. And when you put lubricant on it, also because it's non-porous, the lubricant stays on there indefinitely. So it's just, it's totally smooth and slick, and it stays that way indefinitely. It isn't like acrylic or rubber where every couple, 3 minutes, you're looking for add a little lube. This stuff, a little goes a long way.
Are these handmade?
Yeah, they're all handcrafted one at a time on a 2,500-degree torch, and then they're annealed for sometimes 12, 14 hours, put in an oven, brought back up to over 1,000 degrees, and realigns their molecular structure so they're strong and safe.
So we're here at the booth, and we're at the Fetish and Fantasy Halloween Ball with
Jeff Davis. Well, let's see. 11 years ago, we decided that Las Vegas needed an exciting Halloween event, so we threw the first ever Fetish and Fantasy Halloween Ball. Here we are 11 years later. We've been selling out for 3 years straight now. 6,000 of our closest friends come out to from the Las Vegas every Halloween to strut their stuff and be naughty.
We like naughty.
So what goes on at these balls?
Well, we have DJs, we have bands, we have erotic performances, we have a live exhibitionist stage where people can practice their knot skills by tying each other up, light flogging, candle wax. We have fire breathers, we have jugglers, we have electronic banana rides, you name it. If you can dream of it, we have it.
Oh, wow. Sounds exciting. Where is this, or...?
This year, the 2006 Halloween Ball is going to be held at the Stardust, if it's still standing. It's slated for demolition on November 1st. On October 28th, we're going to help tear it down a little bit. However, if it's closed on October 16th, which is another rumor we've heard, we will be at the Sports Park at the corner of Sunset and the Strip. That's where we've been the last 4 years, and we are now selling that facility out. But if you get your tickets early, you'll be able to get there.
Costume contest?
Absolutely. The best costume contest in town. We give away a $2,600 in cash prizes. And Las Vegas has a lot of costume designers at the different shows that go on in here in town, so you can imagine how wild the outfits must be.
Tell us about one of the wildest costumes you've seen.
Well, if you notice up on our screen, it just happens to be showing right now. We had a 20-foot penis and a 10-foot vulva, and they kept trying to meet on the stage.
Oh, wow.
So Ali decided to go to a seminar on polyorgasmic experiences, and we'll hear more about that. But so I went poolside. There are probably a couple of hundred people out here, and they're having a contest right now. A very sexy girl is getting on top of an air mattress pump, and they have fitted a balloon on top of the nozzle. And the goal here is, the contest is to... pump with her butt. She's going to be riding this air mattress, and she has to fill up the balloon until it pops, and they're timing it and having a contest. Pretty funny stuff.
I'm going to wander around here and see if I can't talk to some real live swingers. You know what? I'm around a lot of swingers, everybody. There's a lot of swingers at this Lifestyles Convention. And what's your name?
Brian. Oh, the difference between swinging couples and non-swinging couples. Swingers are happy.
Very happy.
Absolutely.
No lies, no cheating, no trying to sneak around on the wife, no secrets, no trying to sneak around on the wife or the husband. If you want to do something, you go, honey, I like her. She goes, go for it, and I'll watch.
How long have you guys been in the Lifestyle?
Couple years. Should have been in a long time ago. I really think less swinging couples divorce. But swinging's fun because sometimes, like, the guy may have a lot of energy and the woman wants to rest, and she can go, hey, go with Suzanne and hang out with her. Cool, and you can do whatever you want. No problem. No lies, no nothing. Just make sure you pay the bills and get home in time. But be prepared for the wife or girlfriend to say, oh, John's coming to town. You know, John, his nickname is Humongous. Say, hey, you might feel lost a little bit when you get back up in there, but it'll come back down to your size. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So what's the hottest time you've had here so far?
You know, she was pimping me out last night, and we were doing some stuff. And we found this guy who knows how to make women squirt with his fingers only. That's impressive. The women have no control over their, can I say certain words?
You can say whatever you want.
3, 2, and 1. Yeah, I've done this before. 3, 2, and 1. Women can do, think they can control themselves. This guy, I watched him, and he can make women come 4, 5, 6 times squirting with his fingers only. It's like, so I call him middle and ring finger because that's all he uses. Then, in fact, when I saw him, he wasn't that impressive to me. Then I saw her coming so many times, like, whoa, I need to learn that one. So you can learn a lot here. Sex is like driving. Some people think because they've never gotten a wreck or haven't had any complaints for 30 years, they're doing it right, and that's not wrong. That's not right at all. They haven't been doing it right. They've been lucky. So as much as you can learn from sex, you should. And the best way to learn is to watch others with the one you're with. And women on women, it's great. Yes, I could complain that my girlfriend always wants to be with other women. Who cares? I love it. Because you always get invited, and then you get to learn how to perform cunnilingus, better known as eat pussy. You get to learn all that from other women.
If that's your biggest complaint,
exactly. No complaints. No complaints at all. She's excellent.
This is your lady?
This is my lady.
Hi. Sandra.
Hi, Sandra. You having fun?
I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
I'm tired. Just gotta keep going. Up in the suites, mostly watching. Mostly watching, pimping him out, pleasing him. I was so tired, right? I think I slept maybe 4 hours or so. So, yeah, but presidential suites, awesome.
I'm comfortable with her and the way she is, and she's comfortable with the way I am. So, like, she knows, she looks at some girls, she goes, Brian, you want to eat her? I said, yeah. Swinging, sometimes you run into a couple issues. That's the issues being,
we got it.
She got it. The issues being,
throwing towels and shirts, and a shirt just landed in a tree, and she grabbed it. She scored a t-shirt. Lifestyles Convention.
I got a t-shirt!
Sweet!
In fact, you know what? If anybody asked how's the convention, I said, man, it's just a fucking convention, you know. But anyway, with the sex and everything, people need to be honest with each other. And the Lifestyle's great. There's some people we're running around here with green bands on our wrists. Some people don't tell me, look at you funny, and they're just upset. The married guys with the wife and the kids that are showing up Friday and today, they look at you and the guy's like, God, why did we bring the kids? And some of the wives are looking at you with the bands like, why did I bring my husband? But swinging is fun. Wing!
Swing on!
Swing along.
So that's what you were doing while I was in that seminar.
Oh, yeah. I had talked to a lot of swingers out there by the pool. It was a lot of fun.
But you really missed out on the seminar that I went to.
I heard.
The polyorgasmic. How to become a polyorgasmic couple. Told us all about the orgasms.
And so we sat down with Jim Thompson, and he filled me in on what I'd missed. So here you go.
I'm Jim Thompson from the Key West Tantra Institute, smilingcloud.com. And we did a presentation a few minutes ago for the Lifestyles Convention. We've been here for the past 5 years doing similar presentations in different modules, and people are always amazed by... We're sort of the medical tantra
blend, and so we send them back with more tools. And usually what's nice is that we go back tonight to the hospitality rooms and we see people trying some of the new things out. It's a lot of fun.
So you're going to go up in the hospitality room
tonight? Yeah, tonight I will.
And we're also sitting here with
Julia
and Paul, who also just went through the seminar. And so everyone in here knows a hell of a lot more about what we're about to talk to you than me.
But you will learn some of it tonight.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. We do a course called Orgasm Mastership, which we did here last year, which was showing the 12 different types of orgasms for women and the 6 different types for men. And that's 108 possible combinations. And what we did this year then, we added to that the cycles. In other words, reading when to apply the skills. So this year's module, I asked for an hour and a half rather than last year 45 minutes, mm-hmm. so that we could blend those two presentations together and give people, it's really female-based, this one, because we couldn't do as much men. We ran out of time. But the 12 different types for women usually keeps them busy for at least the weekend. And what we said in the class was women have an erection, but it's inside. So the vagina, which is normally like a folded sock, becomes like a tube by becoming erect. And it moves the uterus. It moves where the pleasure centers are. And being able to read that without having to be naked, you can look at breast size, you can look at facial color, and if a woman is breathing through her mouth. So if you're at a party and the woman all of a sudden shifts from breathing normally through her nose to breathing through her mouth, her body's getting ready to shift, you know, and it's nice to be able to pick up those keys. I think that the biggest problem is that couples don't take the time to thoroughly learn their own body, men and women. Do men know where their $1 million spot is and what it feels like? Do they know, you know, what pleasures, you know, whether it's even just their own finger, you know, the sensations are there annually. They're going to have it because by age 40, there's going to be a doctor sticking his finger up there checking your prostate. So you might as well be the first one and right. don't go see him
you're
as a virgin.
You're not in your cycle, though, when that happens.
That's right. You're not in your cycle. But it's women that shut it off. And what we've tried to do and what we're doing with the new book is I went to the West Coast Tantra seminars and was trained there. And when I came back to the East Coast, I found that everybody was like, I don't want to dress up like, you know, Shiva and Shakti. I don't want to, you know, do we need the candles? You know, so, which is all very beautiful. But I said, no, that's not the essence of it. The essence of it you can do in take all these components and make it build in your life. So I know some couples that have, if you will, a little sacred space. I have some couples that just hang a little to change the bedroom by just taking, you know, clutter and putting up some candles and putting a little veil over the window, and that's their signal to each other. They're not just going to have sex, but they're going to spend the evening. They're not going to rent a movie. You know, they are going to be the movie. And for a woman, you know, preparing for sex is a 2-3 hour event because, you know, if she doesn't feel clean, she's got to have time to take a shower. She wants to smell good, not necessarily for him, but for herself. It makes her mm-hmm. feel more feminine. That's bringing a set of senses. She may want to have a little bit of taste of chocolate or things that she doesn't normally have. She's bringing her senses into her body. And the guy, he's just the opposite. He's got to dissipate that energy. And I tell guys before tantric lovemaking, go jerk off and get the urgency out of it. And get that urgency out of it, you know, and so that now you're both there and you've got 20 or 30 minutes to have a full sexual response cycle. Because when a woman is fully erect and inflated, when her sexual response cycle is fully switched over in her head, in her genitals, in her body, I mean, her feet become sensitive, you could give her an orgasm by kissing your nipple. She is one orgasmic nerve, but couples never get there. They don't have the time. And too many other pressures. This is why they like to come to weekend courses like we have in Key West, but we don't. We normally do the conventions during our hurricane season and during our That's tourist weird. Season, which is January okay. through June, we do them in Key West.
So how could our listeners find out more about your seminars?
Well, first of all, if they want to hear little segments of us, David Shade did an audio interview where we did 11 modules. That's one way. My website, which is pretty homegrown at this moment, is called smilingcloud.com. There's a downloads page, and pretty soon, in the next 60 days, they'll be able to actually pick on and collect content like you just saw. And so they'll be able to actually download, you know, Windows Media Player. We are producing this book. Our main income source doesn't come from books. but it's going to come from CDs like Men Are from Mars, Women from Venus. So we're putting together these programs, and we're still looking for producers and folks to do it correctly.
Okay, and tell us about your book.
The G-Spot Revisited. I'm the treasurer of the Key West Writers Guild, and I was sitting, I'm a writer and inventor and live in Key West, and I was sitting in a guild meeting, and we were introducing, and this old guy sat down next to me, and he said his name was Dr. John Perry. And I said, that's funny. I says, there was a Dr. John Perry that wrote the G-Spot back in 1981. I says, are you related? He says, that's me. And I says, why didn't you ever do a follow-up? And he says, I never found anybody who wanted to do the research and, you know, to do the work. And I said, I'll do it. So for the past 3.5 years, first year was data collection. We did surveys of men and women, 300, like a Kinsey questionnaire. You know, it was very detailed. The second year was biological medical research, taking pictures of photographs. And we're in the middle of doing the writing, and I assume we'll have a editing and publishing phase, so hopefully it'll be out by next year. So Dr. Perry and I are co-authoring that.
Oh, wow. That's excellent.
Well, I think more people, even 1981, people weren't really talking about G-Spot. That's just mythical, right? You know, honey, just get it on. And so I think now we're ready for that. We're ready for G-Spot Revisited. This really happens.
Well, it was one of two ways. People either said, thank God someone's talking about G-Spots and female ejaculation, or because they were having that experience. But the majority, 75% of the women in the United States said, well, that's ridiculous. And they felt like someone had set another standard that they had to reach to be, you know, sexual. And in fact, what John didn't know then, and Beverly Whipple and his other co-authors at the time, was that the G-spot has to come when the sexual response cycle has completed. So it's not there. Women go searching for it when they're not aroused, and it's not there. And some women, they have a sensitive area there, but it's not there until they've had one or two clitoral orgasms. Then it's there. And that was what was missing from the first book and why a lot of people said it was a myth. But now we have autopsy slides, we have photographs, we've got, you know, I mean, there's no doubt now. I mean, it's accepted, it's in all the nursing manuals, it's in all the, you know, all the new training that they're doing at the University of Philadelphia, for instance, medical school. There's a whole segment on it. And men frustrate easily because men need to feel competent.
Yes.
I mean, that's why we don't ask for directions. And because of our dynamic with our mother, when she wanted to make us feel like little boys, we would feel not competent. And so women want to feel valued. And unfortunately, women are like a teacup with a hole in it. So if you tell them at 10 a.m. that they're beautiful and you love them, you have to tell them at noon and 2 and 4 and 6. You can't buy them the Ferrari. You can't buy them the Ferrari and say, I'm done for the year. It doesn't work like that. It's a plant that needs watering all the time. Whereas for men, the quickest way for a woman to, you know, if you will, emasculate her male is just to point out his failures. So she has to do it in such a way that I know you're capable of so much more, that this failure is an event, it's not a person. And so when we start doing that with our loved ones, and then intimacy becomes easier and sex becomes better.
So when you love making men, don't do it like that. Say, that feels really good, can you try this?
Yeah. Say, you know, that's really interesting. That's really good, but I don't think it's the right time. Okay, we're gonna try that later. Hold that. It's sort of like here, you know, someone asked me the other day, who just came to these conventions, well, what if I don't want to have sex with somebody? How would I say it? And I would say, you don't say no, I don't want to have sex with you. You say, no, not now, maybe later. I says, because that's not a rejection. And in fact, you might be drunk enough later. Who knows?
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And we will see you up at the hospitality room.
Yep.
And I will be listening.
And if anybody's missing their G-spot, call me over. Be happy to clinically point it out for you and show your lovers how to find it.
Yeah.
I have that all the time. Couples come over and say, could you show me where that $1 million spot is? And I'll take her hands and put my hands on top of her hands and I'll find it. So there it is.
Which room are you going to be?
No. Yeah.
On the 9th floor somewhere. You know, you'll find me. I'll be there.
So on our website, there's links to everybody that we talked to in this show, from the manufacturers of the glass toys to the
Halloween ball, the fetish ball, and a link to Jim Thompson's audio interviews, which are really hot and very informative and
and everything else that we mentioned on the show. And we did not get paid to go to this convention, but we felt like we did because we learned so much and we had so much fun. And we hope you guys are enjoying this. And we got lots more on the way.
So have fun, play sexy, and good night.
Now let's go play with that glass toy we've got at the convention, baby.
Oh, yeah. My juicer. I got the juicer.
I'll put a picture on the website of the toy that we bought that we're playing with.
It's totally awesome.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.